Welcome to a somewhat cooler Aharical in the West Highland Peninsulas. Wherever you are, and whatever time of day and whatever day you're joining us, you're very welcome. We're continuing to look at the letter of James. And the two words we're focusing on this week are envy and ambition. Envy and ambition. Two words that are every bit as relevant today as they were 2,000 years ago when James wrote his letter. Our call to worship, some words written in the 19th century by an American Quaker, John Greenleaf Whittier. To worship rightly is to love each other, each smile a hymn, each kindly deed a prayer. Let us join in our first hymn.
Let us pray. We bow before the Father who made us. We bow before the Son who saved us. We bow before the Spirit who guides us in love and adoration. We stand in awe of you, Lord God. You are Creator of all. Powerful, wonderful, and holy beyond our imagining. Yet, you reach out in love to us and show us glimpses of your glory. Glimpses in the sunrise and sunset, in the twinkling distant stars, in the colours of fruit and flowers, in the songs of birds. Help us to take time to see the signs of your kingdom in the world. Help us to take time to rejoice in the beauty of your creation. In your great love, You call each of us your child. You call each of us by name to follow you. You invite each of us to join in your work, the work of bringing all to the knowledge and love of you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Loving Father, we do not deserve to be called your children. We have not always lived as you would have us live. Sometimes our love for you is not as strong as it should be. There are people and even things in our lives that sometimes mean more to us than you. Lord, have mercy. Our thoughts, our words, and our actions have not always been ones of love. Love of you, love of our neighbour, love of all that you have created. Christ, have mercy. Sometimes our silences and lack of action have put barriers in the way of others coming to know you. Lord, have mercy. We know that this is wrong, Lord, and we ask for your forgiveness. Give us the will and strength to put your purposes before our own interests and fears. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. And may the love, God of love and power, forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to a new life of service in Christ our Lord. Amen.
James, reading from chapter 3. Do you want to be counted wise, to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish plotting. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the other's throats. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honour. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. You're spoiled children, each wanting your own way. So let God work his will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him make himself scarce. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Mark chapter 9. Leaving there, they went through Galilee. Jesus didn't want anyone to know their whereabouts, for he wanted to teach his disciples. He told them, "The Son of Man is about to be betrayed to some people who want nothing to do with God. They will murder him. 3 days after his murder, he will rise alive." They didn't know what he was talking about, but were too afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum When he was safe at home, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the road?" The silence was deafening. They had been arguing with one another over who among them was the greatest. He sat down and summoned the 12. "So you want first place? Then take last place. Be the servant of everyone." He put a child in the middle of the room. Then, cradling the little one in his arms, he said, "Whoever embraces one of these children as I do, embraces me, and far more than me, God who sent me."
James' letter continues to deal with the issues that he's hearing about in the various congregations, the way that those claiming to be believers are behaving. He's already upbraided them for being too quick to speak and failing to listen. He's further commented on the power of speech, of the tongue. He likened it to a fire that can start a forest blaze. Our own experience and watching the media will probably give us examples of this. The few words that start a riot, ruin a reputation or career, groom youngsters. James has also mentioned people favouring the rich and failing to respect the poor, failing to help those in need. He reminded the congregations that all good things come from God and that God's words should be the guide for our lives. That it shouldn't just go in one ear and out the other, but actually affect how they live. It's no use them saying that they follow Jesus if their lives don't reflect this. They were failing to keep the law, love your neighbour as yourself. James calls this the royal law, the law that Jesus said was one of the two great commandments. The law that Jesus himself lived out, showing love and compassion, particularly to those whom society ignored or shunned. In today's reading, James talks about worldly and heavenly wisdom. Worldly wisdom. Look after number one. What can I get out of this? Doesn't matter what I do to get it. He particularly mentions envy and selfish ambition, emotions that bring about disorder, lying and wrong practice, emotions that are so destructive of others and of self. Envy and selfish ambition are at the heart of so much trouble. Countries wage war to secure a desirable piece of land, to exert power over more people, to become more important. Corruption in governments or commerce, where those in authority only care about building up their own possessions and fortunes. People stealing because they want what someone else has. People attacking others on social media because that person has more followers. People having no time for family because career advancement is all important. Envy and selfish ambition will always cause dissatisfaction, wanting more and more. When a person is driven by envy or selfish ambition, they fail to see and appreciate all that they already have. Envy and selfish ambition do not bring happiness or peace. They do not build up relationships, but rather destroy them. James contrasts this worldly wisdom with heavenly wisdom, wisdom that is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Wisdom that lives out the royal law, the law of love, of seeing all as God's children. Our gospel reading from Mark also contrasts the two types of wisdom. The disciples showing the worldly wisdom of selfish ambition, arguing about who is the greatest, who's the best and most important. Jesus showing the way of heavenly wisdom. Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Heavenly wisdom guides living a good life, distinguishing between right and wrong, not misusing ourselves and our gifts, using our ability to speak for good, not ill, using our ability to remain silent and listen, but not remaining silent when we should speak out, using our abilities to welcome people, but not just the rich. Using our eyes and ears to recognize those in need and using our resources to help, not just keeping those resources stashed away for ourselves. So much of what we have and are can be used or misused, have a light side and a shadow side. Envy and selfish ambition are both emotions that can be the shadow sides of potentially more laudable ones. Envy notices someone else's gifts, abilities, possessions, and says, "It's not fair. I should have." The other side of envy may be noticing and valuing someone else's gifts and abilities. It may be encouraging that person to use their gifts. It may also be asking for help to learn more in these areas ourselves. God gives a variety of gifts to people, different gifts to different people, but all the gifts are equally important and given for a reason. Great variety, yes. But imagine 25 doctors in a community and no one who can teach. Or 25 boat builders and no fishermen. Even in our services of worship, imagine 25 organists in a congregation and no one who can bake a cake. We come together with our various gifts and abilities, working together, playing our different roles in building up God's kingdom. The gifts we receive are never for ourselves alone. They are to be shared responsibly for the good of the community. We are to use our gifts with heavenly wisdom. And one of the greatest gifts we receive is Jesus himself. The Jesus who told his disciples, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all," also said, "I am among you as one who serves." Jesus is still among us as one who serves, serving with us and through us. Then we come to ambition. Selfish ambition says, "I want, I'm going to get regardless." But ambition may not be selfish. Ambition and aspiration may be very similar. The young refugee who works hard to be accepted for training as a doctor and continues that hard work to qualify so that he or she can return to their mother country, which desperately needs medically qualified people. The person who has the vision to see what a difference a small garden and play park would make in their inner city area and works hard to achieve this. Ambition and aspiration may enable an individual's gifts to be developed and lead to great service, to living out love for neighbour. Throughout his letter, James is directing people to the good use of all they have and are. This week's reading ended with a call to draw near to God. Come near to God and he will come near to you. In next week's reading, we will hear James develop this and stress the importance of prayer. Prayer is a channel for heavenly wisdom. Wisdom that will help keep us on the right path, using our gifts in God's service, guiding our thoughts, words, and deeds. Amen.
Lord, we come to you again in prayer. We thank you for giving us this time to step aside from our daily lives. We thank you for putting it into our hearts to be with you and for all the blessings you have showered upon us. We thank you for this space and we ask you to empty it of all our cares, our busyness and all the demands that seem to be made of us. Calm our minds, empty them, and draw us into that still small centre of our hearts, where all that matters is that you are, and we are yours. Fill that centre. Take over our thoughts. So that our will may be yours and our love yours. As we settle into that centre, filled by you, we notice that there's still room for all the people and places and cares of our lives, but they are safe in your hands. And we are safe in your hands. Empty them and empty us of the jealousy that leads to violence and war, of the greed that leaves the poor hungry, of the arrogance that destroys your planet, of the deceit that seems to go hand in hand with power, of all the self-deceit that would put us first and you last. May our prayer for your kingdom be sincere and wholehearted, for only there and then will we find our good and the good of our fellow creatures. Lord, have mercy. We pray for the church, the priesthood of all believers. Let us draw all people to the light in which they can rest in you. For the churches that, valuing each other's differences, they may recognise that we all serve you, who are all in all. And for our own particular church communities, that we may be households of faith, freed from ambition. Lord, have mercy. For all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, may we and they trust in your will to bring them the wholeness you intend. and for those who care for them. Use their skill and their perseverance in your service, Lord, and grant them confidence in your guidance. Lord, have mercy. And for those who have run this earthly race, may they rest in the light of your peace, where all will be well, and all manner of things will be well. Now, rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, we commend ourselves and one another to your unfailing love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us consider our offerings. For the blessings of this and of all our days, we thank you, gracious God. Accept, we pray, not just our money, but also our lives, freely offered in gratitude for all that you have done for us. Use them both, wherever we are, and wherever you might take us. Amen. And we join together in the words that Jesus taught us, drawing our prayers together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen.
Divine, all love's excelling joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation. Enter every trembling heart. Breathe. Spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find that second rest. Take away the love of sinning. Alpha and Omega, as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come, Almighty, to deliver, let us all thy life thoughts above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Let us be, let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee, changed from glory into glory, till in him we take our place, till we come. Our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love and praise.
Let us know our own limitations, and lean on you, our limitless, loving God. May we be wise enough not to trust in our own wisdom, but in yours, Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us, on all whom we love, and on all God's children everywhere. Amen.